Matthew 24, please. And as you're finding your place in honor of the Word of God, if you're able, please stand to your feet as we read the Word of God together. Matthew chapter 24, and beginning at verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for this admonition of your soon arriving. I pray, Father, that you would help us to be Christians that live our lives such that we'll be ready. God, speak to our hearts this morning. Use the Word of God to help us today to be those type of people. Now, Father, for this to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power for this task. Use him to help us today. And Father, if there's somebody in this room that does not know this Jesus, I pray they would trust him and accept him as their Savior before they leave this room today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, it is very important this morning that you keep your Bibles open and follow along very carefully. I'm going to have you refer to some scripture as I go through the message. We're going to talk to you about the second coming of Christ today. You see, Matthew chapter 24 is the most detailed description of Jesus' giving us the signs of his coming. And let me show you why. Back up in Matthew 24 to verse number 3. He's asked a question here. And as he, that's Jesus, Matthew 24 verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, now look at this statement, tell us when shall these things be? And he had just told them that the temple would be destroyed. Then look at the verse. When shall these things be? Next question. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? Well, he was standing there. Listen, people, listen. The disciples understood even when they were with Jesus on this earth that he would come again. He told them in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. They fully understood that. So they're asking him here, when is the sign of your coming back? And then he says, and of the end of the world. End of the world in the Bible doesn't mean the world is destroyed. Man is never going to destroy this earth. There's a promise made to part of this earth that belongs to Abraham and his descendants, and they're going to get that. So the surface of the earth is going to be altered by God's hand, but the man's not going to blow the earth up. So all these anti-nuke guys can go get a bath, a haircut, and a job, okay? Because it's just not going to happen. The truth of the matter is, he's talking about the end of this age, the end of this world, the age in which they live. When's all that coming together? When's the sign of your coming? Now look, and then from verse 5 to the end of this chapter, 51 verses here, Jesus begins to describe to them in detail what are the days and the time of what's it going to be like. What are the signs of his coming? And the signs of the end of this, what we call today, theologically, the church age, the age of grace. When is that door going to close? And so this 24th chapter is a chapter you need to spend some time in. May I set some characters in this chapter that will help you? Whenever you see the word elect in chapter 24, understand that's Israel. Those who believe in a mid-trib or post-trib position, who think that we go through part of that seven-year tribulation or all of it, mistake elect for the saved instead of understanding it's Israel. It's the nation of Israel. Because the Lord is going to deal with a lot of things when he brings everything to a conclusion. And one of them is the nation of Israel, his chosen people. He's going to deal with them. I hope people in the White House remember that they are still his chosen people. And we need to be good friends with Israel. Now, it's very important. But God's going to bring all this to conclusion. Understanding that in this chapter 24, it's not an exact perfect timeline as it goes from one event to the other. He jumps back and forth between events of what will take place when he just before he returns. Now we understand this. Jesus is talking there. And then when we get to verse 24, Jesus begins to give in great detail the signs of his coming. He said in verse 23, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall so great signs and wonders, inasmuch as that if it were possible, they deceive the very elect. He starts talking about the return, his return. What happens just before his return? What are the signs of his second coming? One of our proteges, Dr. John R. Rice, believed there were no signs to the second coming of Christ. He's a good man. In a lot of ways, he missed the boat on that one. Because there are clear indications that take place, listen, in our day, that tell us we're there. See, follow down into chapter 24 a little bit further. Look at verse 33. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Jesus is getting ready to come. And he's just trying to throw little vignettes out here and say, okay, now listen, when you see this, know that it's coming. When you see this, know that I'm going to return. When you see this, now it's very important to keep something else in mind before we get into the message, and that's verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Listen, people. Dozens have set a date and predicted the return of Jesus Christ. One consistent truth rings with all of them. They all missed it. They got to quit doing that. In fact, the scripture goes as far as to say even the Son, Jesus, doesn't know the return. That's in the hands of the Father. Simply put, if he's not going to tell Jesus, he's not going to tell anybody else either. So we knock off the predictions and the return of it. And I've seen so many people get caught up in this stuff. Some guy sets a date, goes through the charts and the graphs. All you got to have is a guy with charts and graphs. And people get impressed with the chart and graph guy. Besides the other one who has slides of the Holy Land, it's charts and graphs, okay? Preacher went to get a job, hired as a pastor of a church, and they said, we have two requirements. Number one, you believe the Bible. Number two, you don't have any slides of the Holy Land. So the truth is we get charts, okay? And if you get charts and you start talking dates and you start talking events and you put the feasts of Israel with the dates and the events and the order of the feast and then the seven churches of the Revelation, you put this whole chart. I've seen them. They cover this entire inset up here this morning. And then when they get done, they set the date for the return of Christ, and every cotton-picking one of them has missed it. See, how do you know? Because I'm still here. And if you're saved, so are you. The truth of the matter is we don't know the exact hour of the day. By talking about the signs of his coming, all Jesus was trying to do was get his disciples and you and I to understand that when you live in a certain day and see certain things, you need to prepare yourself for the fact that the time is short and Jesus is at the door and he's coming again. Now, ladies and gentlemen, his first coming changed human history. His second will do the same. Now, we understand the coming of Christ is in three parts. The first part is when he came to his own. That's what this season is about. It's not about shopping. It's not about enriching Walmart. It's about Jesus Christ came to be with us. Now we know, we're almost certain he wasn't born on December the 25th, okay? Frankly, I think it was September the 12th, and I have my own chart on that one. But the truth is, that's my birthday. But the truth is, I'd be as close guessing it was September 12th as December the 25th. We won't go into the history of how it became December 25th and we celebrate the birth of Christ. The issue of celebrating his birth is not as important as celebrating the fact that Emmanuel, God, came to be with us. And please don't lose that in the holiday season, would you? Don't lose that. You're standing there in line in a store and your ankles are two times bigger than when you left the house because you're in line and someone's checking on a department and a price in a department that doesn't exist with people who don't care. And you've been in stores for hours and you're fighting crowds and people have been chewing at your ankles because you got that little thing they thought they could get for free. Don't forget that, would you please? Don't forget it when all the family descends on you at Christmas time and after a while that cheery, glad moment disappears. Don't you forget that. Don't forget fighting crowds and traffic and everything else that goes on. Don't you forget that Jesus came unto his own. He came here. He came to be with us. He walked this earth for a reason, to go to Calvary's cross and pay for our sins and dip his soul into death and rise 3 days later to give us eternal life. Jesus is coming in three phases. He comes to his own. Number two, he comes for his own. In this passage in Matthew 24, he describes his coming in two different ways. Did you see it? Matthew 24, look at verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of Son of Man be. Look at verse 30. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and glory. You say, well, that's a contradiction. No, there are no contradictions in the Bible. Here's what you have. You have a description of the two phases of Christ's second coming. When he comes for his own, the Bible says it's like a lightning bolt that pops across the eastern sky. Suddenly it appears, and suddenly it is gone. That's verse 27. Then verse 30. But then he returns when he comes with his own. He comes back, and all eyes shall see him. Revelation chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5. All eyes will see him, and he returns in great power. Oh, that great thing in Revelation chapter 19. This morning we had the radio on to one of the Christian stations up in Burnie, I think it is, and they played the Hallelujah chorus. Wow, I love that thing. Oh, my goodness. That just makes you want to get up and shout. I mean to tell you. And when they hit that great powerful Handel's Messiah and that great powerful Hallelujah chorus, it reminds me of Revelation 19. When the eastern sky splits and Jesus rides through on a white horse, not a Mitsubishi, brother, a white horse, and he comes back with an army behind him and he returns to this earth. Well, that's the last phase of his return. He comes to his own, phase one. He comes for his own, like a lightning bolt, and gone. And then he comes with his own. When Christ returns with that army of saved people and comes back down to this earth and sets his foot on the Mount of Olives and it cleaves in half and a river flows out and goes to the Dead Sea and brings it to life again. And Jesus sits on the throne of Jerusalem, of David's throne, and he rules and reigns on this earth with the power of the Word of God. See that, ladies and gentlemen, see, those are all what you would call earth-shaking, altering events. And they all center around the person of Jesus Christ. Long after this time and event has passed and everything's done, no one's going to remember who got the Academy Award for the most dramatic performance, even though you wanted to give it to one of your teenagers. Nobody's ever affected human history like Jesus. Nobody. Not Muhammad, not Buddha. Not the 330 million gods of the Hindu religion. I'm not criticizing them. I'm just simply saying they're secondhand religions. Jesus Christ is the former. He's the preeminent one now. And he's coming. And in this passage, he gives us some signs. Can I give you them very quickly this morning? Just a few. Won't exhaust the scripture by any means, but very few. Look at verse 23 to 26. Here's a sign of Christ's return, when he's coming. When we know he's about at the door ready to return. He says, then shall many say, verse 23, many shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, to there believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ. I want you to read on with me. And false prophets, and shall so great show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. That's Israel now. Behold, I've told you before. Look at verse 26. Behold, if they say unto you, Behold, he is, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. What religion came out of the desert? That would be Islam. He is in the secret chambers, believe it not, secret religions, have their secret societies and their secret organizations. Here's what he's simply saying. Before I come back, there are going to be a rise of false Christs and false prophets. Do you know what a false Christ is? It's any person, individual, religion that tries to take the place of Jesus Christ of this book. And oh my, we got a bunch of those. They got their prophet. They got their leader. They got someone who is equal to, or in some cases now, better than Jesus. And it's a false Christ. The Bible speaks of the man who will come one day during the tribulation as the Antichrist. Anti doesn't just mean against, it means in place of. Well, see, we live in a day and age today where there are a lot of false Christs and false prophets. If there was ever a day that you needed to know your Bible, because it tells you who Jesus is, if there was ever a day you needed to know what the truth was, this is the day in which we live. It's always been important, but now more than ever. We see people today wanting to make a Christ, and it means an anointed one, a selected one. They want to make a Christ out of somebody. The president we have today, when he was elected, there were people who were actually singing the song that goes with Jesus Loves Me and putting his name in that place. You know, that man should have stood up and told people, don't do that now. That's a sacrilege. That's disgraceful. We got people putting men and people in positions that belong to Jesus Christ alone. The sign of his coming now is there'll be false Christs and false prophets. False prophets who declare themselves as leaders of a nation or an empire or a religion. And that empire religion is not under Jesus Christ. They claim their own authority. They claim their own leadership. See, Pastor Johnson, you've really been getting on Islam lately. Well, I think we should get on it a little bit. Because there's something, listen to me, there's something about that religion now that has shaped and affected this entire world for bad. You see, the truth is, unless it's a nut who walks into a building and shoots people and claims to be a Christian, you know, the truth of the matter is there's something about that religion that pretends to this business of slaughtering innocent people. And they do it under the guise of their prophet, who, by the way, was a butcher himself. You know, the truth is, I'm not against people of Islam. I'm not against people of any religion. The people is never the issue. Now look at this pastor this morning. The people is not the issue. The issue is the religion and what it teaches. Any religion, Christian or non-Christian, that teaches there's any other way to know God except through Jesus Christ is a false religion. Jesus, I said, that's a false religion. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, they're good people. Doesn't have anything to do with it. You ever been sincerely wrong before in your life? I mean sincerely wrong. Absolutely sincerely wrong. I'm walking down the hallway at an airport once. My wife was with me, and we passed by the doorway. It had one of those universal symbols for a woman on it, and then it said women's bathroom, and she said, I got to go in there. So she went in there. I walked down a little bit further, and there was a sign out there I didn't pay attention to. I thought it was the men's bathroom. All it was the exit to the women's bathroom. I didn't find that out till I went into the women's bathroom. And I walked in there with my briefcase, and I looked up, and like any man, when I saw it full of women, said, what are all these women doing in the men's bathroom? And any man would have done that. They're all wrong, I'm right. Uh-huh. Can I get a witness from the men on that one this morning? That's right. What are all these women doing in the men? Oh, I'm in the wrong bathroom. And I turned around, I walked right back out, and there was a guy out there talking on his telephone going, you ain't going to believe it. I just saw a guy with a briefcase come out of the women's bathroom. It went viral, probably showed up on YouTube or something. I don't know what it was. I was sincere, but in the wrong place. Driving in Los Angeles, turned down the mid-downtown area, all these one-way streets. I'm trying to find where I'm going. I turned the wrong way. Next thing you know, I'm driving down the middle of a five-lane street. All the cars are parked facing the other way that I'm driving. And I said, this doesn't look good. And then the light turned. I looked up, and here come five lanes of L.A. drivers heading at me. And I'm going the wrong way on a one-way. It wasn't my fault. I was totally sincere, but completely wrong. And L.A. drivers are not very understanding. I did a bat turn, brother, and turned around and got out of that place. You know, the truth is, sincerity is not the issue. Sincerity does not replace truth. The Bible says, Jesus said, before I come, there'll be people saying, here's Christ, or there's Christ. He's in the desert. No, he's in a secret chamber. This is Jesus. This is, and not just Jesus, this is the one. This is the one we've all been looking for. This is the one we've all been hoping for. Israel itself as a nation, in many cases, is a blind nation that's following things that are not biblical. They miss their Messiah, but he's still available to them too, just as he is to everyone else. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you say you're a Christian and a Bible-believing Christian, would you please get enough Bible sense to be able to look and identify what is true and what is not, what is false and what is true? Would you do that, please? And would you be very careful today? Otherwise, you're going to get caught up in the deception of things. Because the Bible says they use signs and wonders. We live in a generation today of people who get caught up in what they see. Well, excuse me, you can manufacture just about anything nowadays. And we have to be very careful about knowing the truth, the signs of his coming. Anyone, any religion who detracts from Jesus Christ to the Bible is a false religion. Any religion that tells you any other way to heaven and to God is through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on Calvary, his resurrection and empty tomb is a false religion. That's not going to help. That is not what you and I need today. We need salvation. We need Christ. Second sign of his coming here very quickly is in verse 27 and 28. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For whatsoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Like lightning, Jesus Christ comes back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 3 describes his return in this phase as like a thief in the night. Don't you appreciate thieves who give advance notice? Put a note maybe on the door, by the way, 2 o'clock this morning, I'm cleaning out the garage, which for some of us would actually be a blessing. But they never steal the junk. They just take the stuff that's good. You ever notice how they do that? You ever notice you go to your social media page and they put on there, by the way, while you're at work, I've cleaned out your house. No, thieves come unannounced, listen, and they leave unannounced. And they come and they're gone, and you come and they're gone, and you open the door and you go, what in the world happened? It caught you unaware. Like you're walking down the street on a warm summer night and the clouds are billowing, and all of a sudden you hear the roll of thunder in a distance, and then pow, a crack of lightning comes across the top like that. Brother Evans and I were up in Chester. Remember that time we were playing golf and we're finishing up on the last holes, summertime. And it was weather out there and it was lightning and all this kind of stuff, but like any golfer, we were trying to finish. We got about the second to the last hole. And you could, I mean, the hair would start to stand up on the back of your neck. And boom, a lightning bolt would pop across the sky. I turned to him and I said, this is stupid. We're standing out here with metal sticks in our hands. And then a lightning bolt went right across the top of the pine trees. I mean, wow. We didn't play the last hole. We got in the golf cart, said, Hail Marys, come on, Buddha, whatever, get us to the parking lot. And we got out of that place because we thought for certain it was over, because you don't know when it happens, yes? So he's talking here about the sign of his second coming. That phase where Jesus Christ comes for his own is a sudden thing, very quick. So quick, the Bible calls it in the scripture, the twinkling of an eye. That's 1/500th of a second. That's not a wink. It's actually quicker than that. And from that moment, listen, twinkling of an eye, Jesus gets from heaven to the clouds. The saved that are on this earth walking, their bodies are changed in a moment, and they're caught up. The bodies of the saints that are in the grave, their body, not the saint, the bodies of the saints are raised and changed. We all meet the Lord in the air, and we return to heaven in 1/500th of a second. That's quicker than a lightning bolt, actually. But you know something, ladies and gentlemen? It's amazing when you stop to think about how sudden and how certain the return of Jesus Christ is for his own. You see, for his own, what do you mean, Pastor Johnson? The Bible talks about how that if you're a saved person, if you know Christ as your personal Savior, he's coming for you. And when it happens that quick. Before this service is over today, before your heart beats again, before your eye blinks in a second, You're walking down the street one day and one foot's here and the next foot's with Jesus, just like that. You know, ladies and gentlemen, since he gives us this sign of that phase of his coming, you say, but when? No man knows the hour or the day. But everything else, but no man knows the hour or the date. That means we live on the cusp, the verge of the very return of Jesus Christ for you if you're a saved person. Now that's a good prospect, isn't it? Thank you for the three of you still awake. That is a very good prospect. That is a really good prospect. You think about that for just a moment. Look, folks, look. Tomorrow is the last day of the month. December 1st, right? Is it Tuesday? December the 1st is Tuesday. The rent is due. Isn't that a good time for Jesus to come back? Right at that first of the month when all the bills are due. Just before you sit down and write out the last check and find out you got too much month at the end of your money. Boom. The trump of God sounds. The dead in Christ rise first. Don't tell me Methodists don't go to heaven. The dead in Christ rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, boom, are caught up together. And just like that, we're out of here. You know, ladies and gentlemen, he's trying to tell us here that you got false Christ. Well, there's always been false prophets. Not like the day in which we live today. There's something very unique about this day today. That's very unique. It's very different. Not just because there's always been false Christs and false prophets, but because of the degree and the amount. And more importantly, dear people, the way that people are deceived by them. Everyone in this world is looking for somebody who has the answer to the mess of this world. Whether it's the economy, whether it's the political situation, whether it's the conflict between religions, whatever it is. I mean, this Pope, this recent Pope, this guy is like God to some people. He's become their hero because he talks nice to everybody. He ain't a Baptist. No, just kidding. The truth of the matter is, people are infatuated with him. You know why? They hope he's got some answers for them. They hope somebody's got some answers. Why isn't anyone looking to Jesus? He already is the answer. He is the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Oh yeah, we're there. And suddenly Christ returns. Now, since it takes 1/500th of a second to get from heaven to the clouds up to meet him, us to return to the Lord with him in that amount of time, you see, you have to be ready now. Just working on it, religion ain't going to do it now. That ain't going to help somebody. First of all, works religion never gives people hope because you never know if you've done enough or you've done well enough. But salvation is a have salvation. It's a have so. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You either have it or you don't. It's one or the other. That's a wonderful thing about biblical salvation. You have it. You have eternal life. All we're waiting for now is the trumpet sound. Either the undertaker or the undertaker, one of the two, and we're going to go be with the Lord. We have eternal life. So then, are you ready? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you ready? Is your life right? See, whether as a child of God, and it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, whether we wake or whether we sleep, we're going with him. Now, wake and sleep is not talking about taking a nap in church like some of you are right now this morning. It's talking about whether or not you're alert and paying attention to the day in which you live, or you've fallen asleep in the malaise and the atrophy of the minds of people today. Either way, you're going up. When we were in Bible college, our professor told us a joke. When he was in Bible college, they had one of those guys in their dormitory who was very gullible, believed everything. Someone was preaching that week in the chapel at their Bible college about the second coming of Christ, how the trump would sound, the dead in Christ would rise first. So the guys on his floor in his dormitory decided to play a trick on this guy. So they sent him out for a pizza, and they went around and they set the rooms up like Jesus had come. They put up in the middle, right in the hallway, in the middle floor, they put a pair of shoes, a pair of socks, a pair of pants, a shirt, just piled it neatly on top of themselves. Turned the shower on, threw a couple bars of soap in there, went in the bedroom, pulled the sheets back, put a pair of pajamas in there with an arm hanging out of it like that. Just set it up where it looked like, boom, everyone was gone. This guy comes walking back into the hallway, and they're all hiding down on the other end where he can't see him. One of the fellows had a trumpet, and he blew on the trumpet. And the guy heard that, and he thought, whoa. And he sees the shoes and stuff piled up in the middle of the floor. He looks in the shower, and there's nobody in there. There's the pajamas on the bed like that. He goes to his room real quick. He gets his Bible out, and he goes, I did that. I know I did that. And he went out on the middle floor, and he goes, hey, You forgot me. He thought he got left behind. No, he's not leaving anybody behind. Raking, ready, sleeping. It doesn't make a difference to him. You're going up because you belong to him. You can't be separated from God. That can't happen. But dear people, question. If he comes right now, you know what happens next, right? Heaven, Pastor Johnson. No, judgment seat of Christ. And you and I will stand before him one at a time. And each and every child of God will give account of themselves to God. Romans chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 5. We will give account of ourselves to him. Look, are you ready to face him with the life you've lived right up till now? Well, I'm going to get my life in order, Pastor Johnson. Jesus will come whether our life's in order or not. And you will go see him. And you will go to heaven. But not until you look into that thorn-scarred brow and see the nail prints in his hands. And he says, now what do we do with our life? Let's see. And your life is revealed. Not sin, but your life is revealed based on what did you do from salvation to that moment. That is a sobering thought, isn't it? And then verse 29 to 30, and we finished this morning. Jesus tells us the signs of his second coming involve something else here. You see verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Look here this morning. Jesus comes for his own. The saved go up. Immediately begins a seven-year period of tribulation. Then shall be great tribulation. Then shall be tribulation, the Bible says. At the end of that period, Jesus Christ comes back. This time he comes with his own. And he's coming back to this earth to set his foot down on this earth, to rule and to reign from David's throne. Now, then, may I conclude things this morning very simply and tell you something? You know what that means to you this morning right now on November the 29th, 2015? It means God wins. Doesn't look like it right now, does it? But he does. Don't you do it now. Don't get your head down. Don't get what we used to call in the old days of mully grubs. Don't do it. Don't feel like, well, look at the world and the situation. It is a mess. No question. There are issues and there are problems that no one has an answer for but God and the Bible. But let me tell you something, my friend. This is not how it always is going to be, and it's not how it will always be. When Jesus Christ comes back for his own, God starts a timetable of things that man will not interrupt and cannot stop. And when he comes for his own, then begins a great period of tribulation. Two-thirds of the world's population dies in war and famine and pestilence and disease. And then at the end of it, Jesus comes back with his own. And he busts the eastern sky and he returns to this earth. He submits the world by the authority of the Bible. And Jesus Christ rules and reigns. And when it's all over and said and done, God wins. Don't forget that, Christian. God wins. We may lose some battles now, but the war ain't over, brother, and God wins. We all scratch our heads and wonder, how in the world is this thing ever going to get straightened out? Well, here's what you can stop wondering. Man's not going to fix it. He just isn't. It's coming up on the rest of an election year now. 2016, things are going to really heat up. And the promises are going to start flying. And all these people are going to tell us all the stuff they're going to do to make our life better. The same fools who couldn't fix it last time they had their chance. Because man's not going to fix it. Oh, but wait a minute. But when Jesus comes, he is. And God wins. And he rules and reigns. He doesn't ask man's permission. Doesn't go to the United Nations and make a speech and ask them to pass a proclamation. You know, today is the 68th anniversary of the United Nations declaring Israel to partition part of Palestine for the nation of Israel. 68 years ago today, the United Nations said Israel could become a nation. 1948 of May, they declared themselves as a nation. And this passage of scripture about the fig tree and the blooming of the fig tree and that generation would not pass, it's all related to Israel becoming a nation. That was in our time. So then this morning, do you understand today that God wins? Do you understand that you need to be ready And do you understand that your redemption draweth nigh, Christian? Luke chapter 21 and verse 28. For when you see these things come to pass, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Oh, we're that close. He's standing at the door. One of my favorite illustrations about the second coming of Christ is told by a preacher who years ago lived in Kentucky up in the hills. He and his little brother went into town one late afternoon. They live way up in the hollers there, where they pump in the sunshine and pump out the moonshine. You know what I'm talking about? They left on a late afternoon and went into town to do a few things. The mama told him, "You make sure you get your brother and you bring him home with you." They were in town. He took his little brother in the middle of town. There was a couple of light posts there. He took his little brother, one of those light posts, and he said, "You stand right here and don't you move till I come back." Clarence Sexton said, "I got busy looking in shops and doing things. I didn't pay attention. I saw the sun going down. I took off and ran home." He said, "I got all the way home and realized I left my little brother in town, and my mom is going to skin me alive." He said, "I turned around, I ran back, and all I could think of was what happened to my little brother. What happened to him?" He says, "As I rounded that little main street in town, I started looking down the street where I had told him to wait for me. And he said, lo and behold, there was my little brother standing there holding onto that light post in the dark, crying. And I came up to him and I said, 'You idiot, why didn't you go home?' He said, 'No, brother, you told me to wait right here. And this is where I waited till I knew you would come for me.'" Well, we're kind of holding the light post right now, aren't we? By the way, it isn't all bad, by the way. God still moves. God still works. God's still good. God's still on the throne. Okay? But we're waiting at the light post because Jesus said he would come and get us. Even so, it all ends with this. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.